Well, first, you may not even have to turn there, but turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. If you take notes, I've entitled it The Sovereign's Thanksgiving Table. As you know, I'm not a thematic preacher, but I seem to be failing at that recently. I just can't help myself. When the Lord leads, I follow, even if it's difficult. I try to follow. The Sovereign's Thanksgiving Table, John 3:16. May not sound like a Thanksgiving message, but for the lost it is, and even for the saved it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Before we look at that verse, we're not going to look at it too closely, but as we move on from that verse, let's pray and ask the Spirit of grace to open our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving for John 3:16, for we know that's the gospel message. It's the message that we had received in our heart and that you opened up and gave us a new heart to receive, and hence we became the elect children of God. We ask you now to walk amongst us. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray today may be the day of their salvation. We ask you to help us to glorify yourself, our Savior, and our Heavenly Father. Be with us. Open our hearts and minds to this truth, this absolute truth, and help us to leave here with a blessing for ourselves or to share with another. We would ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As we approach Thanksgiving Day, it's a time of reflection. God bless you. It's a time of reflection, and it's a time of celebration. It's a season when we look back and we count all of our blessings that we've received throughout the year. In addition to that, it's also a time when we gather together family and friends, and we enjoy a turkey or a ham dinner with all the trimmings. And of course, Thanksgiving is also about football games, parades, and some terrible thing called Black Friday. God bless you. I never liked that word, Black Friday, although I must admit it does suit the world. This is the Thanksgiving that most Americans will celebrate on the 22nd. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, our Thanksgiving is much more than a one-day celebration. It's a continual. Our Thanksgiving is a continual and everyday celebration of the wonderful grace of our sovereign God and that grace that he's bestowed upon all of us. Now, I've chosen John 3:16 simply because it demonstrates just how much our Heavenly Father has given you and I. And the gospel message of John 3:16 is the foundation, and it's the table upon which all other graces rest. Until you come to know Christ as your Savior, you have no grace from God, common grace. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's all you got. That's all you get. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's a lot of whosoever's here, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the gospel message. Believe and be saved, simply put. And all the other graces that come from God's hand rest on that table. Unfortunately, most of America will not gather at that table and give thanks. They won't do it. They can't do it. And they can't do it because 2 Timothy 2:26 revealed the lost are held captive by Satan. They can't do it. So the thanks and praises, and they will give thanks and praises, but the ones they are going to give, their blessings are going to go to luck chance, coincidence, and least I leave out the most important, self. That's where their blessings will go. All of which, all of those things combine to make an altar of evil. 1 Corinthians 10:20 backs that up. That the things with the Gentiles, which would be the unsaved, sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. But for those who have accepted God's grace, his indescribable gift, thanksgiving is celebrated hourly and daily as long as we live on earth. That should be what's in our heart. That's why we're told to rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. And Romans 14:7 speaks of the peace and joy we have. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's our celebration. And these, peace and joy, these are not one day blessings. These are the daily blessings that we, God's elect, give thanks for every day. So you see, a chosen vessel of God, our minds and our hearts and our lives, we should be in a constant state of thanksgiving. And there's a command for that, actually, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and you and you and you and you. Give thanks for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You're in a hurry. Light stays green a little longer. Thank you, Lord. You have a problem, and it solves itself. Thank you, Lord. You have a political system. Whoever gets elected, thank you, Lord. Everything in your life should be given thanks to God because he is the sovereign. And I don't care if it's bitter, up including death, or if it's sweet. He deserves thanksgiving for it because he saved our wretched souls. And he gave everything he had just so you would be his inheritance, you and I, and all the other elect. That means you should rejoice every single day, that command in 1 Thessalonians 5, every day for what God has given you, and just as importantly, for what he has not given you. You should be thankful. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God for things, especially when I was a newer Christian. Well, Lord, this would work nice if this happened and this happened, and it didn't. And man, did that work out well for me. Because if I would have gotten all the things that I asked God for, I probably wouldn't be standing here now, and I'd probably go through a lot of tissue because I'd be crying a lot. We have a Father that's giving us exactly what we need, whether we like it or not. And that's the thing that parents do, isn't it? Little Paxton over there is getting everything that his parents know he needs. May not be lining up with what he thinks, but it's certainly what he needs. And our Father does the exact same thing for us. So yes, on the 22nd, celebrate with your family and your friends with this Thanksgiving. But when the food is put away, the games are over, football games are over, the parades are over, and the guests have left, continue to feast on the sovereign's Thanksgiving table because it never goes away. Ephesians 5:20, Paul commands us, give thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another verse that says, give thanks for all things. And that includes, by the way, and I've mentioned this to you before, doesn't matter what's going on. If it's a negative thing, you give thanks for it because it's an opportunity to grow and it's an opportunity to worship God. The celebration of Thanksgiving, it actually begins when a soul is adopted into God's family. And then that celebration continues throughout all eternity. Do you understand that? From the moment you got saved, from that moment on, throughout all eternity, you're celebrating Thanksgiving. And to keep the celebration going while we're on earth, God has opened up his pantry and invited his elect to the sovereign's Thanksgiving table. He's opened up the storehouse of heaven, and he's laid out a banquet you can't even imagine. And all, and there's the word all, the spiritual nourishment that comes from the sovereign's table, all of it comes from a single seed that was planted over 2,000 years ago. And 3 days after that seed was buried, the fruit of that seed rose up from the ground and produced a harvest that's still being reaped today. And the pantry that holds this harvest is called the Bible. Every one of you have a pantry of God's blessings in your Bible. For example, in Ephesians 1:3, in just 24 words, God has summed up his menu board. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, let's go back. Do you understand when Paul says the word us? That means every genuine believer may claim that text. Do you get that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given Tom all blessings in heavenly places, who have given Ron all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, have given Wendy all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's how personal that should be to you. That's an invitation to eat at the sovereign king's table. Because it's laid out for you, and it never goes away. You know how on buffets, they'll roll them out, they'll roll them in, they'll refresh them. You don't refresh the absolute truth. All of God's food that's on that table never needs freshening, because it's absolute. And what about the next giant word in that Ephesians text? The word all. That means everything without exception. It means there isn't a blessing in heaven's storehouse that's withheld from God's people. All blessings. Not one thing is withheld from you. I have a proof verse for that. Romans 8:31-32. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a proof verse. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places belongs to you. You know how I told you when you got saved, you were factory installed with divine power. All the buttons are there. You just got to push them. And in this case, I'm using another metaphor, a table. All the blessings are on that table you need for this life and the next life to come. And all you have to do is belly up. That's it. Let me tell you what some of those blessings include. How about the promise of forgiveness of sins? Colossians 2:13-14. Paul writes, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In summary, what he's saying is, all your sins are forgiven. All the guilt of those sins are forgiven, and all the shame of those sins are forgiven. They're done. Anything that you did before the cross is nailed to that cross, and they're done. They're paid for in full. You'll never stand and be held accountable to them. And then after the cross, all of those sins are forgiven. And if you don't repent for them, he'll bring you to a place where you will want to repent for him, because he's never letting you go. He didn't set that table with the blood of his son so that you could come and go. And I would also have you know there's no exit door in salvation. You're saved or you're not. It's simple. If you have an active interest in God, you love God, the things of God are important to you, then there is no exit door. Because you don't want an exit door. You just want to keep going. You want to keep growing. And the only way you do that is if you belly up to the sovereign's Thanksgiving table. How about victory over the death and the grave? You know, everybody worries about dying. I don't know if it's because I'm older. I don't feel my age, that's for sure. But everybody's worried about dying. Believers too. Well, you know, you got to be careful, do this. Yeah, okay. You do the safety things you're supposed to. That's a duty you're supposed to have. But if you die, so what? What's the big deal? You go to heaven. I've told people this before. I feel in my own life, this is an opinion, a personal one, I feel like my life here, as good as it is just a bad vacation. Because I know where I'm going, and I haven't had a taste of it. I've been tasting it ever since I got saved. And I want to tell you, you eat from God's table for 21 years, and you're there every day, and you're eating from it every day. Man, you really get to like it. I'll tell you what, you eat out of his hand. You eat out of his hand every day, and you watch what happens to your faith and your joy. Victory over death in the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You have the victory. That's on the table. How about adoption? You know, there's a thing about adoption. It takes a very special person to adopt a child because they know nothing about that child. And in adopting a child, it's a sign of great love. And in the time when the Bible was written, it was such a sign of great love that you could not disown an adopted child. You could disown a natural child, but not an adopted child. And God has adopted his children. Now, he didn't have to say that. He could have said, you know what? I'm sending my son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He could have just dropped it right there. That would have been enough for me, because I believed. And my life would be a reflection of my belief, so I go to heaven. But that's not what he did. He went further. He said, I love you so much. I'm not only going to give you my son. I'm not only going to give you my spirit. I'm not only going to give you my word. I'm not only going to give you my kingdom. I'm going to adopt you. Got to stop for a minute. You know, our parents love us. I don't think a child can ever possibly imagine how much parents love their kids. But which of the parents dies for them? Which one of them sacrifices something and gives up something up to death for them? That's why he adopted us. He can't do anything more than he's done. And he's God. He's done the ultimate. He's given everything. He has nothing left. He has nothing left to give. That's what he did for you, Pam, Jerry. That's what he does for all of his children. He adopts us. He says, I want you in my family. That's why we're called brothers and sisters. That's why we call him our father. Jesus is our brother. I mean, I tell people all the time, one of the reasons I really am good to Meredith, although I love her, is that my God is my father-in-law. She's my sister. You get it? Adopted. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into your hearts. The spirit, he has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Son of God has taken the spirit, so it would be the spirit of the Son of God, and put it in your heart. So now you're adopted. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir. The only thing I've ever thought about myself as being an heir was an airhead, spelled wrong. But when I realized what I had in Christ, it was like, how could that be? You know, you can never, if you ever get over what God has done for you, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can be thankful and get over what God has done for you. I never could. You know, people say, you know, you're enough because you're on fire for Christ, blah, 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 blah. It's because I never get over what he's done. I keep thinking of new things he's done for me. Like standing here in front of you. I could have never envisioned this. That isn't what I got saved for. I got saved because I wanted to know the truth. And when I found out that truth, he put me on a journey. He put me on a road. And here I am. Here you are. You're on the same road. We've intersected, as it were. But that's because he loves all of us, and he has a plan for all of us. But we have to belly up to that table every day and get that nourishment that we need. How's all of that for something to chew on before Thanksgiving? How is that? You be thankful every day. And if that's not enough for you, let me pile on a few more blessings on your plate. How about this? You have access to the sovereign God. Now, that might sound like, well, what does that mean? That means that the prayer we just prayed and all these things that we just prayed for, he actually took account of them. Now, a lot of people pray, but he doesn't take account of them. He takes account of his people's prayer because he tells us that we are to be a praying people. So when we pray, we know we have access to him because the war is over. When we pray, you can have confidence when you're done. Praying isn't about changing. It's about having confidence that you can deal with anything. You're giving it to him. That's access to God. And the world doesn't have access to God, even though they think they do. They don't. There's only an elect people that does, that has that access to God. Through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. We have the gift of irrevocable love. Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you realize that's something that God can't do? He can't take back his love for you? Brian can't do something really evil and stupid. And God's going to say, you know what, that dummy, I've had enough of him. I don't want him in the group anymore. I'm throwing him out of the house. I don't care if he's a good cook. He's gone. He can't do that. That's something God can't do. When he puts his love on you, it can never be taken away. You can't take it away, and he can't take it away. It's irrevocable. How's that for a Thanksgiving? Who has ever loved you irrevocably? Think about your life. Think about the people that you've loved and that you claimed have loved you. Was their love irrevocable? I don't think so. How about an eternal love? He didn't just love you when you were born. Before the worlds were made, before you look up at sky at night and you see all the stars and all that, you're not even seeing a speck of what's really up there. Before any of that junk was made, he knew you, Carrie. He knew you, June. He knew all of us. He knew every grasshopper he would ever make. He did. He knew every atom. There isn't one rogue atom floating out there. Not one. And he said, I have loved you eternally. And then in Ephesians 3:11, he talks about the grand purpose. His grand purpose was to reveal Christ. And to reveal Christ, the Messiah, there had to be you. He had to have somebody to save. And he saved you. He knew you and he loved you in eternity past before you were even born. There are some people, and this is something I don't necessarily agree with, but there are some people that say that there are pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. And they say that he became pre-incarnate because he loved us so much he wanted to be with us before he was born. I don't know about that, but I know this. He was in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know that. And I know he's in my heart as sure as I'm standing here. I know that. But he has loved all of us for eternity past. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And the gravy I want to give you that goes on all these blessings is this. Not only do you have all this now, you also have eternal life. Now get it straight. There's no purgatory. There's no third base in the eternal realm. There's first and second. That's it. First is heaven. Second is the lake of fire. That's it. And eternal life means that you are in heaven. Eternal death means that you're in the lake of fire. It's really meat and potatoes simple. And the Bible tells us that he loved us so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There you have the gravy. Everlasting life. Whosoever believeth. If you believe, then you've got the gravy to go on all the blessings all the blessings you have right now is actually, I hate to say it, is not even considered an hors d'oeuvre compared to what you're going to have in glory. And that's the gravy. And the best part of eating from the sovereign's table, Thanksgiving table, is that all the nourishment you need to get through this life is found there. Jesus gives us a proof verse in Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And just like food, it works the same way as food. Once you've digested the word by applying it to your life, what does it do? It turns into the power you need to deal with anything in your life. You have to eat it, it goes into your heart, and then it goes into your life. That's the power. The same thing you do with food. You sit down on Thanksgiving and you eat a big helping of turkey or gravy or whatever. You better work it off. But you eat it and it gives you the power you need to work it off, I should say. So when the thunderclouds of life encircle you or threaten your life, you have all the power you need. All you have to do is you need to take a little piece from the sovereign king's table, a little piece of shepherd's pie. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's shepherd's pie. And it's a blessing you can have in any evil night. When sorrow, shame, or sickness makes life seem bitter, come to the sovereign's Thanksgiving table and refresh yourself by tasting the delicious fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of that fruit is there. And all you have to do is belly up and fill up. Yield to it. You yield to these blessings. That's what you do. They're there. They don't have to be manufactured. They're sitting on the table. You belly up and you yield to them. And the shame and all the things, the sickness or the sorrow, whatever's troubling your life, may not go away, but you'll handle it like you couldn't handle it in any other way. You'll realize it's a blessing, and you'll use it to honor God and to glorify him, even if it means you die in the process, because you're not going to die. Death is a misnomer. People think death, they equate death with corruption. That's only true if you don't know Christ. But if you're at the king's sovereign table, Thanksgiving table, you don't have to worry about that. You're just transferring. Like that. And if you look in God's pantry, and I can back everything up I'm saying. If you look in God's pantry, you'll find a host. If you look in this pantry right here, you'll find a host of saints that know their way around the sovereign's Thanksgiving table. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with examples that show how people were strengthened just by eating from God's Thanksgiving table. They were strengthened to do things they could never have done. You see, beloved, when we feed on any verse in Scripture, when you feed on that, you chew, when you meditate on it, you are nourished, you are strengthened, and your soul is encouraged. It doesn't matter what it is. makes no difference whatsoever. Listen to what Jeremiah said about God's word. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. How can any believer feed on the spiritual food in God's word and not be encouraged? How do you do that and call yourself a believer? How? How can any genuine Christian meditate on the wonderful promises of Scripture and not be overcome with joy and thanksgiving? How? The fact is, they can't. If you're a believer, you can't. You can't read Scripture. You can't meditate and feed on it and not come away from that but something from God, a blessing from God. Because if that's the case, then he's a liar. Then he's saying all this food is no good. It's all fake food, like fake news. This is fake food. But that's not what happens. And proof of it is seen in your lives, how you've changed your lives once you started eating his word. Luke 24:32 says, on the road to Emmaus, two disciples describe how they felt when Jesus opened up the word to them. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the way and while he opened up the scriptures to us? Those disciples are no different than the disciples sitting in this room. There's no difference. You wear different clothes, but you're eating the same food. That's the one key thing between every disciple. You eat this word, and your heart will burn within you. And if it doesn't, then you better run to 1 John. You better read all 5 chapters until you get it straight in your mind. Why? Your heart isn't on fire. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should rejoice at his words. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, thanksgiving should be your middle name. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that we can sit at the sovereign Thanksgiving table and have a feast every single day, many times a day? And by the way, in spiritual word, there are no calories. You can be a glutton for God's word, and it's not a sin. All you have to do is come to the table. And I got to tell you, it doesn't get any easier than that. The manna is there. All you have to do is get out of your tent and go pick it up. Harvest it. The spiritual nutrition is there. All you have to do is feed on it. It'll take care of itself. And the blessings that come from this feast are there. All you have to do is step out of the boat and apply them to your lives. So let me ask the elect, are you just walking by the sovereign's Thanksgiving table, or are you celebrating Thanksgiving every day? Have you obeyed the Lord who says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it? Psalm 81:10. Or are you letting the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the pleasures of life, are you letting those things keep you from feasting at the sovereign's Thanksgiving table? Are you doing that? If I'm speaking to you, I'm forewarning you, brethren, starving souls generally live far from the mercy seat. I wonder how many of us pass by the Lord's table every day without even taking a scrap of food to help us get through the day. If that's true, as I'm sure it is in some cases, many that do that are walking spiritual skeletons. Because they don't take the time to sit down and eat what God has prepared for them. So is it any wonder the 21st century church is so spiritually anemic that it's called Laodicean? When God's people refuse to eat from the sovereign's Thanksgiving table for any reason, the result is always the same: malnutrition, spiritual depression, and a loss of faith and joy. It's always the same. And you could test it yourself. Stay away from human food as long as you stay away from God's food and see how you feel. And I would add, When saints fill up their lives with so many things that sitting at God's table is no longer a priority, then the Spirit of God is grieved. He gave much for that table to be set for you. He gave much to make you his heir. And when you choose to walk around the table instead of sitting at the table and eating, it grieves him. The same way it would grieve a mother or a father whose child would need anymore. It grieves them. But if you, like Job, can say, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23:12. Then rejoice, because it pleases your Father in heaven to feed you and to nourish you and to care for you at his Thanksgiving table. But perhaps there's one listening who hasn't yet come to God's Thanksgiving table because they haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you feel the hunger to know God, if you feel that in your heart, and you want to eat from his table, you see me or call me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to eat from his table. And for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the thought I would like to leave you with this Thanksgiving is this. Heaven's pantry door is always open and ready to serve those who are willing to sit down and eat. Never closed, always open. So why not make yourself a Thanksgiving promise to organize your life so that every day you can sit down and have a meal with your Heavenly Father? And if you keep that Thanksgiving promise, then the dessert God wants you to take home today is 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. That's your dessert. So come to the sovereign Thanksgiving table and eat and be blessed both now and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all the blessings you give your people. We know, Lord, you'll never force feed any of us. We know, Lord, that we may go through this life as your children, but we may go have a beggarly existence only because of our will. Help us, Father. Help us to come to your table several times a day and eat and grow and be blessed. And Lord, help us not only to do that for ourselves, but help us so that we, in doing this, we can glorify and honor you. For you have given us everything that you have, that we might be the children of light. Help that light to shine by helping us to eat and feed on your word. We thank you for that in advance because we know it's your will and we look forward. We anticipate that strengthening that we know will come. We ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Our closing hymn is the insert in the bulletin. Count your blessings.